I go to the Father, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We almost lost our sermon this morning. We wouldn't want to do that. But the first words of my sermon are that which we have indeed lost. We have lost our Father. And as I sing the words at the altar, pray them with me in your heart today with some sadness, Pater Noster, and great longing, and a kind of an intensity even on this solemnity of good Saint Joseph, Father to us all. We have lost our Father. Oh, the common Father of Christendom, of course, replaced by an intruder who is not even a member of the family. But families are formed any more today, any which way, and as they say, Sally may very well have two mommies, and marriage long broken along with its vows. And it is entirely and by law remade. Oh, don't worry about the bakeries. They've been making wedding cakes for non-marriages for a long time. They do rather well with them. But what do you think all of this does to society? It's not worth baking a cake over, especially because, and it has come to this, as long as you go along with the crowd, in order to go along with the crowd, you must feel yourself free, and we who are left are obliged to respect the transitioning process, free to remake yourself. God's product, in the first place, was not good enough. And prisons, those horrible, hellish warehouses which blight our land, in which so many souls are squeezed, discarded rubbish of society. Souls who never learned that they were made in the image and likeness of God, and that they have a Father in heaven. Prisons are just as much laboratories for social experimentation as are our public schools. The courts have ruled marriage is no more in any identifiable form by nature or grace. And therefore, the courts have ruled furthermore that prisoners have the right to mutilate themselves in some vain attempt as though they could recreate themselves. And taxpayers must foot the bill for drugs, I mean, and surgery. But, and this has been our experience this year, a true Catholic priest has no right to bring the Blessed Sacrament to a prisoner because, the chaplain said, you see, that would make him stand out. And in the brave New World order, that's the one thing you mustn't ever do, is stand out. And God is not allowed in this place. I hope that, if I can use the word in the same sentence as God, that our good lawyers will be able to help us in this matter, because everything, it seems, must be determined by courts today. But how are all of them ever going to get back to God? The gospel gives us a clue. I go to the Father. But in this topsy-turvy world, I think it is good some Sundays to take time to remember how God entered time and became a man, so that one day, when time is no more, we too may go to the Father. The family is the principal institution of society, antedating government. As one politician said well yesterday morning in Iowa, although he was just trolling for votes, of course, elect them, and they soon change their tune. The family is from God's hands a perfect society, and such perfection Almighty God chose for his Son to enter the world. The means whereby we, adopted into his family, might one day leave the world and go to the Father. The Holy Ghost then selected and prepared not only the Blessed Virgin Mary, the most perfect woman that could ever be conceived of, conceived without sin, but also a Father, and thus to give a family for the incarnation of the Son of God. A legal father, or an adoptive one, was Joseph, it is true, but the relationship of Joseph with his boy, Jesus, was higher, deeper, more intimate than that of any natural father with his own son. Jesus was born, then, not just to a virgin, but, as the scripture says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. He was a son of David, worthy, St. Bernard says, to have David for a father, David whom the Lord found to be a man according to his own heart. Now, how was Joseph a father to Jesus? Answer this question, and you will see not only how he may be a father to thee, but how, in paternity, fully claimed and exercised, we have the solution to the grave disturbances, to the unnatural sins with which society has been pretty much done in. The solution is simple, little, quaint, hidden, Joseph-like in a word. It doesn't depend upon court rulings or politicians, but upon the foundation of the family. Pater familias, the Romans would say, the family father. Now, consider, you know them, you've heard about them over the years, you've read them, you've meditated them doubtless, all of the virtues which Saint Joseph embodied, more than enough to revive, to raise from the dead even the stinking corpse of what is left of decent family life in society today. Consider adoration and devotion to the Eternal Father, to God's will in everything, and such obedience, his devotion to revealed religion, and his humility, his simplicity, the poverty which spelt a real detachment from things and a trust in God the Father, and silence even, and all of this, as I say, with an unshakable faith. These are the great virtues of life, of anyone's life. We would do well to learn them finally before we leave this life. How? Well, as Saint Joseph did in his human nature at his father's side, with and by and from Saint Joseph. Could we do any better? In the old law, certain religious obligations, especially the more difficult ones, rested upon the man, the father of the family. He alone, for example, was obliged to know the law and to recite twice daily, not the mother, but the father, the profession of faith, and to make a sometimes long and arduous journey all the way to Jerusalem, the annual pilgrimage for the Pasch. Now, this position of the man in religious life had and could easily have, still today, a powerful influence on the education of children. How deeply impressed would a boy, Jesus say, have been when he heard his father recite by heart the long profession of faith every morning and every night. And later, when he could, to learn from his lips, standing at his side, for it was recited by men only, that same declaration of belief. And what an example would have impressed itself upon a youthful mind when the son saw his father getting ready to go up to Jerusalem for the Passover, because it was the great feast day and it must be kept in God's house. And then to hear him explain, maybe in answer to the son's question, to explain that all men of Israel were obliged to assemble together before God in his temple, in his presence. And all of this, of course, not so much hot air about religion, but in the context of true fatherhood. For it was Joseph who protected and provided, we'd say today, who was therefore his son, and therefore his son's blessed mother, his wife. He formed him, Joseph did, in his true human nature as any father would today. Thus, while he inherited, Jesus did, so much of body and soul from his blessed mother, they say you can see it in his holy face. He received so much too in the way of influence and formation and training from his father. The man, Christ Jesus, was truly, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. Now, does any of this cease today after centuries? The family, the church, pretty much gone. But the Holy Family, which came before the church, abides. And thus will our families and our church be revived, be restored, even though we are 50 years fatherless. The family, by state law and the new religion of Vatican II, and you have to say it, by the extraordinarily wicked words and the very bad example of this character in Rome, seems to be entirely done in. Today's question, how are we going to maintain faith and family today? I go to the Father. O Father of Jesus, we sing, be Father to me. I go still today to the Father by fathers. There are still some real priests left in this world. Treasure them. Go easy on them, at least. Pray for them. And parents, pray that God would bless your sons, one of them at least, with a vocation to the priesthood. Think of that. Hold it in esteem. I go to the Father today, St. Joseph. St. Joseph, not only for the private practice of virtue, which is so Christ-like that, humanly speaking, we know where Jesus got it from in large measure after Mary. And it is enough praise for our dear Saint Francis to say, why, he was another Joseph for his age. I go to the Father, not only as to a great, great saint for the granting of so many petitions, more, I go to the father as to a guide, St. Joseph is, for going to God the Father. And a guide for fathers of every kind. No wonder the Holy Father, Pius IX, in the middle of the 19th century, proclaimed him patron and protector of the church. He is not just powerful, but you could say, well, of course he's our protector. He's just continuing to do his job. And that's the kind of a man St. Joseph was and is. So now, surely he will watch over our fathers and the mystical body of his son, which is the church. But survey it today, and surely you'd think sometimes, what a mess. Where are you going to go today? Well, I don't know about you, but I go to the Father. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.